Hello, everyone, and thanks for listening. My name is Mike McMeekin, and I am the Executive Director of Engineering Change Lab USA. On October 21st and 22nd of 2019, we held the 7th Engineering Change Lab USA Summit. One of our provocateurs for Summit 7 was Chris Walcott, Director of Security Solutions at Direct Defense. Chris, thanks for agreeing to take part in this post-summit interview.
I'm always happy to do it, Mike. I've enjoyed the opportunity to attend 5 of the 7 Engineering Change Lab summits, and I see them as quite valuable.
Well, great, Chris. So one of the focus areas for Summit 7 was to explore the technological driving forces that are impacting the future of the practice of engineering. Along with emerging technologies comes increasing cybersecurity risks. This is where Chris and Direct Defense come into the picture. So Chris, what are the biggest cybersecurity risks to engineering organizations today?
Well, Mike, engineering firms are particularly situated because they tend to hold data that would be considered of a critical nature. The critical infrastructure in this country is typically defined as energy, water and wastewater, oil, gas, mining, telecommunications, transportation, and there's one or two others. And engineering firms play an integral role in the planning, design, construction, ongoing maintenance, even the sunsetting and demolition of that infrastructure. And because of that, they tend to have access to some of the critical data. It can be anything from drawings to construction plans, bill of materials, 3D modeling, all the way through to settings of things like the software settings for breakers in a substation, something like that. Because of the nature of that, they are the type of organization that a bad actor, a threat actor, we call them, would choose to target on purpose to try to get access to the data necessary to give them a footprint to attack the infrastructure involved. So the engineering firms sit in a position where they hold all this information, and it is a fairly traditional model for the way the businesses operate, the way the engineers are trained, and some of them are well prepared for the future in dealing with attempted cyber breaches against the engineering firm themselves, and others are still working to get there. So I think that puts them in an interesting place.
Okay, so what types of risks are likely to get worse in the future?
The types of risks that are likely to get worse are going to be the ones that are directly related to how critical information is stored. So, you know, at this point, I think we're still at a juncture where organizations are still in the process of digitizing records. You still have physical engineering drawings for some things. Some of the information that we're discussing is held in offline systems or systems that are segmented off from the rest of a computer network or highly protected. The future is clearly moving towards the cloud for everything. And as data migrates into the cloud, there's question around who has access and how and why. Now, I commonly get questions when I talk about this topic about whether or not a firm is better off to put things in the cloud or not. And I usually answer the question with a question. Who do you think is better equipped to protect data? A 1,000-person company that might have 20 IT people and one or two information security staff, or a company like Amazon with 750,000 employees and, you know, well into the thousands of security professionals. So fear of the cloud is something that needs to be addressed. It's not necessarily something that should be feared, but the segmentation of who has access to the information and how and why is probably the more important topic there. So controls around flow of information and being able to keep track of who's been granted or revoked that access, I think, is going to be one of the biggest challenges.
Well, thank you, Chris. Can you cite any specific examples of cybersecurity breaches that engineering organizations have faced?
Sure. There was one, I believe it was last year. There's a firm called Power Quality Engineering out of Texas, and they are an electrical engineering company. They had a situation where some of their data was stolen and it allowed access to critical infrastructure information. Now, I'm aware of a number of others, but some of them are ones that I'm not at liberty to disclose because I'm, in some way involved with them. Another one that's going to be pretty commonly known, and it's not necessarily directly impacting engineering firm, but critical infrastructure in general, is the Ukraine power grid hack. And so that would be an engineering-related hack, but Power Quality Engineers is one of the more common ones that's highly known, that was fairly recent, and they were able to exfiltrate quite a bit of data about critical infrastructure that that firm had worked on.
What about the clients of engineering companies? What are the cybersecurity risks in operating infrastructure that engineering companies need to design for?
So, if an engineering firm is going to make the decision to be the operator of a particular facility or type of equipment, and we have some clients of ours who are in this space clearly, they need to be able to treat that client facility as if it's their own and put in place controls or make sure that they've done the due diligence to see that the client themselves has sufficient controls in place to try to protect that infrastructure. And one of the biggest challenges that we see, particularly in the operational technology or OT or industrial controls, SCADA, whatever you want to call it, space, is a lack of visibility. So those networks were not designed to be secure. A lot of them are 10 and 15 and 20 plus years old. They were designed to be resilient. And so what would now be considered best practice for cybersecurity, for visibility, perimeter security, all these types of things, in a lot of cases has not been done. So when an engineering firm is going to take on a client of that type or take on a new facility of that type, they need to make sure they're doing a fairly thorough assessment so they understand the cyber risk posture of the facility, both for the facility itself and the risk it poses to the engineering firm. And then whatever infrastructure they're going to put in place to interact with that facility needs a solid set of well thought out industry best practice cybersecurity controls around it. They also need to make sure that their internal hygiene is up to standard because 70% or more of data breaches still occur through some sort of human interaction gone wrong. And if their own programs aren't in place and up to standard for their employees, then someone may be able to compromise an employee, compromise the engineering firm itself, and by association, then compromise that remotely administered facility.
So, are there opportunities in cybersecurity that engineering organizations can take advantage of to provide
Absolutely.
more complete sets of services to our clients?
Absolutely. The first thing is to make sure that your internal house is in order. The engineering firm should make certain that they're following one of the industry best practice standards for cybersecurity, health, and hygiene. That could be the NIST Cybersecurity Framework, CSF. It could be ISO 27000 if they're an ISO shop. There's a number of them. Once they've done that and put the program into place internally, then they can look at holding themselves out to their clients as a firm that has followed best practice to be secure. And then they can look to be able to offer services either to the clients or to other engineering firms, even from an ancillary perspective. My firm, Direct Defense, has a long history working with engineering firms to be able to help them shore up the gaps in their own internal cybersecurity infrastructure. And then we have partnered with them to co-offer services out to their clients that showcase the engineering firm as being one that's forward-thinking in the space, and at the same time allows us to interact with them to make sure that everything is being done properly. A lot of engineering firms have gone down the path of trying to get into the cybersecurity services space, and there's a scarce resource, I'll be perfectly honest, of qualified and properly trained individuals in the space right now. There's 2 million open cyber jobs, and it's expected to get worse before it gets better. So we've seen a lot of partnering in the space, and I think it's worked out for everyone involved.
One of the, or let me rephrase this. The mission of Engineering Change Lab USA is centered around the assumption that engineers have a bigger role to play in the future as stewards of technology and nature, helping address the future challenges that society faces. How does cybersecurity play into this role of engineers as stewards of technology and nature?
I think that cybersecurity is one of those areas where engineers need a fundamental foundational training. Almost regardless of the particular branch or subset of engineering involved, engineers are more and more likely to interact with advanced technologies. They're more and more likely to rely upon software and something that they're doing as part of the role that they play. And life in general is becoming more automated. So engineers are seen as a technical resource, as a technical responsibility within society as a whole. And I think there's an expectation that they have some fundamental and foundational knowledge. They don't necessarily need to be cybersecurity subject matter experts, but I think me personally, and having attended a university where engineering was a focus, I think I really feel personally that engineering should include some foundational cybersecurity and risk management training.
Okay, one of the concepts that stuck with me from the discussions at our recent Summit 7 was the concept of cyber resilience. In other words, designing around that reliance on technology. Can you comment on this concept and how it relates to cybersecurity?
Absolutely. So, from this perspective, cyber resiliency is really focused around the concept that if something happens to a connected system, it doesn't necessarily have an entirely negative or an overarching negative impact on the infrastructure involved. And this could be as simple as designing workflow processes so that there's a manual override to the automated systems. Or it could be setting things up so that they fail into a desired state. So there is system engineering and system design thought processes and workflow processes that should go into the overall design of a facility, whether it's water, wastewater, whether it's substation, and that smart system design can be built in such a way that the system is resilient against cyber attack, among other things. So from that perspective, there's a few different ways, and I'm aware of some organizations, I won't name names, but I'm aware of some municipal organizations that have a particular focus around trying to look at existing systems and do some re-engineering specific, particularly with an interest in resilience.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. I remember writing down at the summit the concept of maintaining that manual override so that you don't have the total reliance on the automated system.
Absolutely. And making sure that the staff involved is familiar with the procedures. That can be, a semi-frequent exercise of some kind. Or it could be that, some organizations, some utilities in particular, will actually operate in a manual mode from time to time on a periodic basis to make sure the staff is familiar, so that the first time that they have to implement some sort of disaster recovery or business continuity type plan doesn't occur in a real situation.
Okay, Chris, one final question. I know that you are part of the Cyber Patriot program. Can you describe how this program is helping to prepare the next generation of engineers?
Absolutely. So Cyber Patriot is the National Middle School and High School Cyber Defense Competition. It's an organization that was founded in 2009. It's run by the Air Force Association and funded predominantly through a grant from the Northrop Grumman Foundation. Principal sponsors include Microsoft and Cisco, And it is a competition that's run on a monthly basis throughout the school year. So right now there are approximately 5,000 teams competing. I coach two teams. My team's competition weekend, this first competition was this past weekend. And this is an opportunity for as many as 30,000 kids in the U.S. to get foundational and even some advanced cyber defensive security training free of charge and get a chance to work as teams, which is in a lot of cases how we interact in real life in these scenarios. So it really is a fantastic opportunity. My team that I coached in 2016 won the national championship. So that year in our division, we were the best out of about 1,700 to 1,800 teams. These kids get opportunities to get training that working professionals in the field would pay thousands upon thousands of dollars to get. And it is helping to bridge the gap in this country, not only in the workforce, but also in the defense of our national critical infrastructure against cyber attack from threat actors of all kinds. What we see in the program is that it builds team cohesion. It builds a problem-solving mindset, similar to some of the other STEM youth activities that exist. And it's the type of thing that is going to foster, not only going to be interesting to someone who might be headed in an engineering direction anyway, but it might open the eyes of someone to the sorts of STEM activities that exist that are available and get them thinking down a thought process that might guide them into an engineering background where they might not otherwise go that direction. So I see quite a bit of value in it. That's why I put my own personal time into it as a mentor. And I think it's something that engineering firms would do well to support and foster. As many people know, I spent almost 7 years working with Black & Veatch, and they sponsored the team that I continue to mentor. And I think they gained some things out of it. And my current firm, Direct Defense, is also involved in sponsoring. I have three of my former Cyber Patriot team members are working with me now at Direct Defense. So it really is a good opportunity to bring people into the future and into the protection of our infrastructure. And I think that really is something that helps to support the engineering mindset and the potential future of engineering in this country.
Well, Chris, thanks for your contributions to that great program. And thank you again for talking with us today about Engineering Change Lab USA Summit 7. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Mike.